Welcome to Show Me Something Wrong,
where each episode one of us chooses a movie to watch that the other hasn't seen. The movie is often obscure, usually odd, and always wrong.
I'm Dave.
And I'm Guy, and today I've chosen a movie, and it is Mind Fuck.
It might not say that on the podcast title, but who knows what it'll say.
It'll be, oh yeah.
Because it might censor it, I don't know, depending on what app you're using.
Mind
Beep.
Cluck.
Mind Cluck.
By Ma Wu Tu, apparently. I don't know where to start with this one, Dave. I'm already at a loss. You know how we normally, start the episode, we go into the background, director, who's this guy who made this film, at what point in his career, and...
Can't do that with this
Unfortunately,
one.
I don't have any of that.
Oh, shit.
But instead, I have my journey in researching this.
Okay, can you just tell us, what year is this from? Do you know that?
Well...
And what country?
No. You know how, like, when I did, what was it? That fucking film that was from, like, a multitude of countries with a billion different names?
With the bowls. That's the bowls episode, right?
Yes.
Night Evil Soul.
Yeah. You know how I like to dig myself into these little graves?
Yeah.
This was another instance of that.
Sure.
Where, like, I thought this would be a fun little simple film to do. It ended up just being an absolute clusterfuck that I was just like, wait, what am I looking at here? And fortunately for when I did Night Evil Soul, someone had already kind of picked it apart.
They'd gone through that rabbit hole.
Yeah,
themselves.
And they kind of explained about the different, you know, the Korean guys and the Taiwanese guys and the Hong Kong guys. The stuff that I found with this, I mean, first of all, this is barely documented online. There's 10 people who have watched it on Letterboxd.
You can only see it on Pornhub.
Yeah. And there's a couple of reviews here and there, but this is it's not a very much talked about movie.
Right.
So, unfortunately, I had to do all the research myself. There was no one to tell me about it. And yeah, I found the rabbit hole went very deep.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Wow. It's also the title of this film.
Let's get into that.
Nothing to do with anything, I would say.
Yeah. I'm going to get into the title. So unfortunately, yeah, for today's episode, all I can really talk about is my journey in finding and researching this film.
Mm.
And it's a pretty good story.
Okay.
I think you'll enjoy it. So just lean back, have a sip of your beer, and join me.
Or the listener?
Well, everyone, I guess. And you, Dave. Feel free to chime in, but yeah, this is the story of me researching Mindfuck. Gather around, children. So I was on just like another one of those random letterbox rabbit holes where you just bounce from one title to another and came across a film called Mindfuck. And I thought, well, what the hell is this? And the description is... Wife is poisoned and returns from the grave to kill her assassins with mindfuck. I was like, what the fuck is that? And then looking at the director that's attached, Ma Wu Tu, I was like, wow, that sounds like a Chinese name. So I was like, so we have some strange Chinese film with a dodgy title and an even dodgier description. I thought... I gotta find out what this film is about. So I did a little research. I found the film, had a little skim through it, and found it's kind of like this genre-bending adult film incorporating elements of horror and folklore from China. And I thought, fuck yeah, this is absolutely perfect. This is a great film for the podcast. Because on paper, that's great.
Yeah, sounds good.
Right?
Mm.
But there's a few, like, as you just said, the title... It's an odd title.
Yeah.
And there is a Chinese title attached to it. When you start the movie, you get a title card, right?
Mm.
And there's a big title card in Chinese, and then the English title, Mindfuck, below it. But as I'm sure you know, Mindfuck is not really a title you'd imagine to come out of China from 1990 is the year that's attached to this film.
Right.
This apparently-
attached to it.
Yes.
Maybe not from 1990.
All sources state that This film, Mindfuck, was released in 1990 by Ma Wu 2.
Okay.
But, you know, I was like, well, that's an odd title for a Chinese film from the 90s. Mindfuck, it seems like a relatively new term. Like, not...
And a very Western term, as you say.
You'd imagine from, like, early 2000s, like some, like...
Yeah.
Like, stoner kid, like, whoa, this is such a mindfuck! Not something you'd expect from 1990 China, especially in like a period drama porno.
It sounds more like a new metal album title.
Oh yeah. We should make that. But anyway, but there it was, lo and behold, there's the title card. Chinese title, English title under that, so who am I to question? There it is. So I'm doing my research and I'm reading people's reviews. There's about 5 or so reviews online for this, like total.
Right. On the whole of the internet.
But there's also on like message boards where, you know, you get those message boards where it's like, oh, what film would you like this company to restore and re-release?
Yeah.
And there's a few people who have requested or mentioned like, oh, I want Mindfuck and the director's other film, which I will also get into. He has another film attached to his name. And these two films kind of get lumped together.
Right.
So I'm reading this, and then I'm reading, like, these blog entries of how people acquired this film back in the grand old days of, like, bootlegging and ordering from magazines, like mail order stuff. So it was very much, like, back catalog tape trading type stuff where this film, I don't know, somehow made its way over here before the internet, of course. But anyway, I'm desperately trying to research this, but typing Mindfuck doesn't really get you very far, right? So I type Mindfuck plus the director's name, still nothing. And eventually I'm scouring all of these like Chinese websites and these like movie databases and stuff, and I'm getting fuck all. Like Mindfuck. And it's really annoying because the director, his name is always written in English characters.
Right.
So even like when searching his other film, he's always credited as an English name. So it's like Ma Wu Tool, not getting anything. So I'm thinking, right, what's my next step? How can I find out about this film? So I'm thinking, if I can get the text of the Chinese title somehow, right, then I can uncover something. Now, the only available print of this is the one we watched. It's a very fuzzy old VHS rip. And all of the letters and information has like bled out across the screen, right? So even, you know, ourselves knowing a bit of Japanese and having that like connection between Chinese and Japanese, knowing some kanji, you can't even make out any of the characters. So I can't type them in and try to reach something. It's impossible to decipher what is being written. But there was that other film of the director's that I mentioned,
right?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he has a film called Ghoul Sex Squad.
Now that is quite a title.
It is. And Ghoul Sex Squad follows a similar theme to this one. It's an adult Chinese film with horror elements and Chinese folklore. Very much in the same vein as this. You get some Kyonshi or Jianshi or Kyonshi is known as in Japan. And by searching this other film, Ghoul Sex Squad, I find more information about this director.
There's one review of this on Letterboxd.
Ghoul Sex Squad?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's quite a good review.
Oh, let's hear it.
2.5 stars.
Okay.
The porn version of Mr. Vampire, unnecessary film. That is from Marco Lone. Thanks, Marco.
Thanks, Marco.
That is a great... I love that. Unnecessary film.
I'm sure Marvel Tool would not agree.
What
but
a harsh review. Unnecessary film.
Oh, dear.
Love it.
Yeah, I had scrolled through Ghoul Sex Squad, and it didn't look great, to be honest. I wouldn't go so far as say unnecessary, but it was a bit bland. However, it looks a lot nicer than the film we watched, or we are talking about today.
In terms of the print?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Anyway, so I finally find one of these, like, movie databases from China, right? Actually, multiple movie databases from China. Find the director, find Ghoul Sex Squad. However, Mindfuck, or the Chinese title, whatever that might be, wasn't listed.
Right.
This director, Ma Wu Tool, has one film to his name, according to these movie database websites.
Okay.
So I'm like, what is going on here? Yeah. So I thought I'd hit a dead end, but then I remembered I have a friend living in China.
Right.
So shout out to my friend John for helping me with this. I sent him a screenshot of the title card and the movie itself after a little bit of back and forth. I said, I need the text of this Chinese title like sent to me so I can put it into search engines, do some searches, try to find out about this film. He got back to me immediately and he sent me the traditional Chinese title and the simplified one. I thought, here we go. This is going to be it, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that opened up a whole new can of Chinese worms. So, yeah, I thought, like, fuck, yes, I'm finally on the right path. But no, it only gets worse.
Oh, no.
It only gets worse, Dave. So, the traditional Chinese alphabet didn't bring up anything for me. But the simplified one did. But not the film I was trying to search. So, it immediately brought up a film called The Musical Vampire. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay, so it's like a horror comedy from China. Similar themes, Chinese folklore, superior piece, Chinese folklore, Qianxis or Jianxis, however you want to call them, appearing in it.
Mm.
So thematically, similar,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But and my friend John was like, when he sent me the translation, he mentioned it's a very generic title.
Right.
So I was like, okay, you know, so I'm sure there are a few films or it's possible to have more than one film with a similar title. Anyway, I completely dismissed this film because it clearly is not a Chinese porno called Mindfuck.
Right.
It's a horror comedy. But the more I searched, the more I just got this one film, this horror comedy called A Musical Vampire. And then it turned out that that film was, in fact, the only film with this title.
Right.
Mm. So I kept digging, and that was where I found the title card, the one that I had seen on Mindfuck, except it didn't have the English title below it.
Mm.
It was just the Chinese characters on that black background. Right,
right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is the title cards to The Musical Vampire.
So the exact same...
The exact same thing. Mm. And I was like, what is going on here? So I sent it back over to John. I was like, mate, is this not just the same title card? He's like, yeah, it's exactly the same. And he was just like, oh, you know, China back in the day, it was the Wild West. It was a lawless wasteland. Who knows, you know?
Right.
And I was like, right. So what we have is this adult film that has used the same title card from a very different film by a different director and has a very strange English title attached to it.
Mm.
I was like, well, that's odd. That's very odd. Anyway, I kept looking and I rewatched the opening credits to Mindfuck. And then I can just about make out the director's name in the opening credits. And I managed to link it back to Wilson Tong, the director of The Musical Vampire. So it's not just the title card.
It's the whole...
The entire opening credits have been completely lifted from this other film.
Could you find that other film? Like, could
Musical Vampire? Yeah, I watched it.
You watched it?
Yeah.
And it's a totally different film.
It's a completely different film.
But the title...
Titles are exactly the same. And the titles cut at exactly the same point.
Fuck.
So I'm trying to like think about how this came to be, and I was like, maybe because we're watching a VHS dub, right, or a tape. So maybe someone had a recording of The Musical Vampire and then taped over it when this porno came on or whatever. But then like the cut is too clean. The credits finish at exactly the same point. And then, but yeah, also I checked that Ghoul Sex Squad to see if that led to any answers, but no. And then, I don't know, there's no definitive answer to this. But as my friend said, it was the Wild West. Piracy was huge. There could have been this porn film that had taken the name and title card from another film and bootlegged to hell and back. Maybe it had been brought over to like the Western world. Mm. Someone had like acquired it, and because they couldn't read the Chinese title, they just slammed their own English title onto it for bootlegging right. purposes,
yeah, yeah.
which has happened plenty of times. I'm more familiar with it with Japanese pornos than mm. Chinese, but like for example, there's that film Terrible Meal, which it's known as, which is just some random dude's bootleg right. title, same as Squirm Fest. These sure. like really famous underground Japanese like.
Mm.
fetish films that go back fucking years. I remember watching them when I was like 15,
right?
But that's become like their almost like official English title. Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. just a, you know, a bootleg title.
Name means yes.
Another great example.
So okay, fuck. I thought you were gonna say that this film, because my feeling watching this was, is this a non-pornographic film that has had pornography sliced into it,
right?
Because that's what it feels like.
There are some moments that feel like that,
almost everything until the end, and yeah. then I was like, okay, maybe not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I totally get why you would
yeah.
think that.
Oh wow, okay, what a baffling
I baffling know
story. And it has subtitles as well, English subtitles.
I know,
like burnt into it.
Yeah,
the fuck,
I know.
So there's no way to confirm if that director, what was his name again?
Ma Wu Tu.
So there's no way to confirm whether or not he actually directed whatever this film is.
No,
yeah.
But there's another theory in there. In China, porn is still very much illegal.
Yeah, that was also what I was yeah. wondering. Yeah.
So porn is illegal, using porn is illegal, and selling porn especially comes at an extremely high price, including jail time.
Yeah.
And there have been plenty of instances where people have basically made something to look like something else and sell it under the counter, you
right.
know?
Right, okay.
So one theory is that someone has made up this porn film, had the opening with this other like horror sure, comedy yeah. until it gets to the good stuff, you know? That's one other thing that I can possibly think of.
Yeah. I was wondering that the whole time watching this, because even I thought this was maybe from Hong Kong, but even in Hong Kong, I've never seen, there's not hardcore porn in Hong Kong either, right?
Oh, you know, I don't know about that actually.
Yeah, but like, that's why, I was so confused by what I was watching, especially at the end when you clearly see the actors like
yeah.
engaging yeah. in actual like sex. I was like, this looks, yeah, this is dangerous. If this sure. is from China, right?
Yeah, yeah. That. So, in short, the film we're talking about today, Mindfuck by Ma Wu Tu, doesn't Maybe. Exist.
Right? Yeah,
doesn't exist.
Yeah.
We're talking about a film that doesn't exist. It's known as Mindfuck, right? One other thing to mention. So Mindfuck, released in 1990, the title card that it uses from the musical Vampire, that was released in 92.
What?
Yeah. So 1990 is wrong. The title is wrong. The director is wrong.
Oh,
so
God.
We know nothing about this film.
Where the fuck did the 1990 come from?
I don't know.
What should I list this as when I upload it?
Oh my god. 1990X? Just 1991 in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, that is fucking confusing.
Yeah.
That is baffling.
Because, yeah, like, the only official credit this director has is for that Google Sex Squad, right? The title card comes from a film 2 years later. We don't know the country. We don't know the origins. They're speaking Mandarin, I believe, but that's spoken in a few countries, so we can't even define the country by the language it's spoken.
Wow. Let's just end the episode there.
So I had fun researching this. Fucking mindfuck.
Yeah. Sounds like a mindfuck just researching it.
I was not happy. But isn't that weird? It's just, I can't believe, like, and there's all these, like, I say all these people. There's a handful of people talking about
it. Like three people.
Yeah, there's three people. And, like, demanding... Well, no, sorry, no one's demanding anything. But, you know, requesting, like, you know, restorations and re-releases.
Well,
and
I think what's confusing as well, if this was, like, just full trashy shot-on-video porn, I can be like, okay, sure, I'll believe that, you know, this is some Yeah, like that has the fake titles, all that kind of thing. But it's like, it looks like it has a budget.
It's pretty high production, yeah.
It's a period piece.
Mm.
There's effects in it.
And they're good?
Yeah, they're pretty good. So that's what makes it even more confusing.
Yeah.
That they would, if it's illegal to make something like this in China, but they've put all this money towards it.
I mean, if porn is illegal in China, you're not really like there for the story. You're there to see have a quick bang.
Is it like, could it be like a film that was made in China, but for an international market? Hence the like subtitles, if you know what I mean. So it's like, oh, there's like some demand, obscure demand for Chinese porn. So we'll make it, send it off, which is why it has the subtitles. I don't know. I'm just grasping at anything.
Yeah. I have no idea. I don't have the answer to you. It's just, yeah.
Get the answer. Get back. Get on the internet, mate. Do some more research.
No, I'm done. I've exhausted every option.
Oh, man. What a fucking nightmare.
What a mindfuck.
Mindfuck.
Mindfuck. So with that, should we get into it?
Oh, God. I feel sick now. Physically sick.
But I'm quite happy to bring a new wrong reason to the podcast. We've never spoken about a film that doesn't exist before.
Does that mean it's an automatic 10? Because it doesn't exist.
I don't know.
No, maybe not. But wow. What the fuck?
So after we watched the opening credits to another film.
My one note about those credits, they are fucking hideous titles.
Mm.
That, like, as you said, bleeding all over the screen. Very ugly looking.
Yeah.
I wonder why they didn't steal nicer looking credits from Sony.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I guess it's like been dubbed to hell and back, so all the colors are completely bled out. But after the credits cut, that's when our current film starts.
Mm.
And we have all these like weapons laid out on the table, and a man is kind of armoring up.
He's like a ninja.
Yes. And he's a thief.
Ninja thief.
He sneaks into a house. He's doing all these flips and flops all around the place. And he grapples onto the roof. Or at least he tries to, before falling down and crashing into a big old pile of pots. He's a bit of a shit thief.
Yeah, he's a goof. He's a goofball.
He's the comedy relief factor in this porno. Yeah. Do pornos need a comedy relief factor? It's like, oh, I'm all tired out after busting my nut. I need a laugh.
But yeah, by falling down, the noise that he makes interrupts a shag.
A shag?
Or the beginnings of a shag.
Yep.
We see a bearded, spiritual-looking character.
Mm.
Now, I believe his name changes a bit in the subtitles. I believe this is Governor Ping.
Right.
This character, Ping. Although at the start it's written as Tsing, because my notes like change throughout this. But he's there with a lady called Luca.
Oh, I didn't even get her name. I got the ones who come a bit later.
I thought she was the one that isn't it later. She's like the evil villainess. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, this bearded man is
he's the governor. He's like the boss. He's the chief.
The governor, clearly evil, has got a big Fu Manchu mo and beard. he's like interrupted by this sound, but the woman's like, don't worry, there's no way anyone could get past your security. And he's like, yep, fair enough. And they launch into a very long-winded shag with lots of gross licking and lots of like hardcore footage cut into the sex, right? Like it's very much like insert.
Yeah, shots, yeah. Right? You're right, because the scene is very tastefully shot.
Yeah.
And they have a very nice set. They're fucking in front of this massive yin yang.
Yeah.
There's like beaded curtains and there's like a fire in the foreground. They're banging in the background. And it's all very consensual and nice, and there's music playing. There's like lovely like Chinese music playing, and it's a happy fuck. But then, as you said, there's just these really, really extreme close-ups of like hardcore penetration.
Yeah. When I was watching this, because I remember last episode, you were like, oh, this film is wrong in a way we've never discussed before.
Mm.
So the whole time watching this, I'm like, I wonder what the reason is. And for the whole time and up until your intro there, I assumed it was because this was a non-hardcore film that had been,
right,
without the actor's consent, turned into a hardcore film. Like, you know, like Caligula, right? How that was like, that had like Malcolm McDowell and Helen, is it Helen Mirren in that as well, I think? And then they inserted all this like hardcore shots. That's what this feels like, you know, and they're definitely inserts as well.
Oh,
It's not the actors doing it, at least in this scene,
It's very sudden.
Yeah. And like, it's what you were saying as well, it's like very beautiful looking, and then just close up, grim close up of just like balls slapping against him.
Oh dear. Yeah.
There's something very funny about that, isn't it?
About ball
like,
slapping.
They're just like the way it's shot, like of just close up. It's it's not a very nice thing to look at, because it's like very close.
It's right up in there.
I'd hate to be filming that, like right in there.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So a long old sex scene. Then our thief flies through the window, continues sneaking around the house, and he's searching for something.
Oh.
But he gets distracted a little bit.
Yeah.
He finds some food. He finds some food, he gets a bit peckish, pulls out some chopsticks, starts eating away, and from there he gets the farts.
He gets a case of the farts.
And he can't stop farting.
I was so confused by this, because he eats these beans, right?
Yeah.
And then he squat down, like, looking for whatever the fuck it is he's looking for to steal. But the first few farts...
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was meant to be, because it's not a traditional comical fart sound, right?
How would you describe the...
You know, like, it's not... You know, if you go into, like, a
ancient
free...
Ancient Chinese farts.
You go into, like, a free sound website, right? You type in fart, you download fart underscore one dot web. Like, it's not that kind of fart.
How would you describe it?
It's more just, like, a high-pitched, like, squeak. But,
it's a
like, a mouse getting choked or something. But it's very confusing. And then I only realized that he was meant to be farting when he announced, I am farting and I can't stop.
Yeah, and he pulls out the great line, I'm farting up a cyclone.
These subtitles are not your typical, like, Hong Kong subs, are they?
No.
They're clearly written by a native speaker, because they're quite funny at times, but not funny in the way Hong Kong subs are, when it's just a shambles.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, these are quite well written.
Farting up a cyclone is great.
That's very funny.
You can't just come up with that. Yeah. So he's walking around farting all over the place, but finally, he finds what he's looking for. There's a box. He breaks it open, and I think he maybe finds some gold in there. He's kind of happy, but there's something more valuable that catches his eye.
Mm.
There's this gold necklace on top of this altar type thing. And he somehow, I know, because he's a ninja, he swings over to it. He falls, crashes, and he said another great line, great translation. He goes, damn these ninja theatrics.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
I know. He's literally the worst burglar. Now, we see behind a silhouette that this necklace is attached to something, and that is a silhouette of a jianshi, or a qianshi.
Or a jumping Chinese vampire.
Yes. Now, there are multiple translations of this, but I thought, let's just go over what jianshi or qianshi is. So go ahead.
Didn't I sum it up already? It's one of those vampires that jump about.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Vampire is like the most famous one.
Yeah.
But yeah, they show up in countless like Hong Kong and Japanese films.
They're always like subtitled differently. Sometimes they're monsters or vampires. Sometimes they're zombies.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just jianshi.
Yeah, and they are kind of like a cross between a zombie and a vampire, right? Because they're not a traditional Western vampire.
But then calling them, I never like the translation of jumping vampire. It just, I just imagine Bela Lugosi like hopping around the room, you know? It doesn't quite sum up what they look like, you know?
That's quite a great image.
Yeah, so anyway, they're like these reanimated corpses from Chinese legends of folklore. They're normally completely stiff corpses dressed in like official garments from the Qing dynasty. They normally have a talisman stapled to their forehead, like this long piece of scroll, scripture, paper thing. But as soon as that talisman gets removed, they kind of become reanimated and they stretch their arms out in front of them. Fingers are stretched, not like zombies where the fingers are kind of like curled over.
Fingers
pointed out and they jump.
Yeah.
They jump around. And apparently they kill people by absorbing their life force. And they're kind of scary.
They are. It sounds comical, and it kind of is in a way, but they are quite frightening.
They are disturbing. There's something very erratic about them. I think the jumping,
the jumping is weird. It's off-putting.
Yeah.
It's not.
I don't know what the purpose, I don't know why they jump.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. But I wonder when the first appearance of this style of vampire or monster was. Because, I associate it with Mr. Vampire.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it's like, is it an ancient kind of thing or legend, or is it a cinematic thing?
No. I mean, don't quote me, but I am quite sure they go further back than just like cinematics. They're like part of the folklore.
Did they suck blood?
I think it depends on the film.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, as you said, they're probably most famous by that film, Mr. Vampire. Also starring Moon Lee. From our lovely Fatal Termination. Anyway, so that's a Jianxi. Kyonshi. Love it.
The Japanese is Kyonshi.
Kyonshi, yeah. So, our terrible thief pulls the necklace and it takes the talisman off of this Kyonshi's forehead. And then it immediately starts jumping towards him from behind. Very erratic kind of jump. And he keeps trying to, like, attack the thief. Keeps missing somehow. The guy knocks the Kyonshi down and he springs back up again. Whizzes across the floor. There's a lot of, like, you know, camera trickery. Probably wire work or, I don't know, pulling someone across a carpet. I don't know. But it looks pretty dynamic. The Kyonshi is like on the floor in between this guy's legs, and the guy kind of dangles this necklace in front of him. With that, the Kyonshi kind of releases his grasp, and then the hunk comes back, the governor, and he's like,
"Wait, is he a hunk?
He's a bit of a hunk, isn't he?"
I don't know about that.
Okay, what do you call him? Fu Manchu?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll call him Fu Manchu. So Fu Manchu comes back. Yeah. And it's so funny because he's like, what's all this going on here? And he just takes a talisman and slaps it back on the Kyonshi's head.
Very nonchalant.
Yeah, immediately immobilizes him.
So this guy, he's a governor, but he's a sorcerer as well. It's quite a CV that he's got.
I know. And he's got the babes.
Yeah. Maybe he is a hunk. I take it back. He's a hunk.
He's a hunk. Fu Manchu's a hunk. But just like that. So, and it's never explained. It kind of is explained, but not enough. Like, he just keeps a Kyonshi.
Yeah.
Like as a pet or something.
Yeah, well his whole place is like filled with various magical items, right? Yeah.
Like, can you just keep a Kyonshi?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, when like they're having a shag and the girlfriend, she's like, oh, he's never going to get past your security.
Yeah.
Is that the security?
I was wondering that because it's not very good security.
No.
If that's the case because it's immobilized.
Yeah.
With that talisman.
It only works if someone takes it off.
But kind of worked. Not really. He got away with everything.
Yeah.
So after the ninja has run off, we cut to our heroine of the film.
Madame Mura.
And her maid is brushing her hair. And she seems like... So Madame Mura, she seems like a very sickly lady. She's sort of coughing quite a bit. And the maid is like, oh, it's all in your head. Mm. Yeah, Madame Mura is really worried about her husband.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, where's my husband? Madame Mura is concerned that he's out drinking and shagging.
It is the same kind of character as Night Evil Soul, isn't it?
It's very similar, yeah.
Because she's like, my husband.
Yeah.
He's cheating on me.
It is very similar, yeah. And yeah, she's just like coughing up a storm at this point. And then the maid calls in my favorite character of the film.
Oh my god.
So she calls in Aki, the hunchback. So he's like another servant of Madame Mura and her husband. So he's this bizarre hunchback man. Not only a hunchback, he also has buck, like rabbit teeth.
Yeah.
Like these buck teeth. And he comes in with soup. And
he can't speak. He's like, he's got the hunchback.
But in some ways, he's like, I mean, he's one of the heroes of the film.
He
really cares about Madame Mura.
Why did they feel the need to include a hunchback as the servant? It's so bizarre. It's
great, though.
He really didn't need to be.
Oh, boy. So then Turi, the husband, the piece of shit husband, comes stumbling home, drunk, and Madame Mura comes over wanting to, like, come into the room, but the husband, Turi, he's locked himself in, and he's just looking really annoyed.
Yeah.
And just like, don't come in. All right, fine, come in.
Yeah, right? He's like, go away. Okay.
And, Madame Mura is kind of interrogating him about, you know, whether he's been having an affair with this other woman, which I believe is the woman from the first scene who is shagging the sorcerer governor, I think.
Who? Who?
Luca. That the woman that he's having an affair with.
Oh, right. Yeah.
She's in cahoots. But yeah, the husband denies it and begrudgingly does a shag with his wife.
Begrudgingly does a shag.
He does, though. Because he's like, all right, fine, here we go.
Yeah. He gets a little peck on the forehead.
Yeah.
And then one thing leads to another.
And then someone's watching from the door. Is that the maid or who is that? I don't know.
But oh, maybe it was the maid.
Could be the maid or it could be
Quasimodo.
Yeah. I don't know. But someone's watching it. And again, in this sex scene, which goes for a long time, we get all these like hardcore insert shots. My favorite thing about this sex scene, though, I've never seen this in a film.
Oh, yeah?
And it is pretty great. So there's a bit in it where he starts to do a cum. And you have a shot of him like being like, ooh, like ready to go. And he starts like rolling his eyes back. And then we cut to his vision. And it's like cum vision. And so it's like a shot kind of, I guess, of like the bed or something. Right. But it becomes like a kaleidoscopic kind of cum vision.
I remember that.
That's fucking hilarious. That I've never seen cum vision in a film. Cum vision.
That's great.
Oh, boy.
But the next morning, he's gone.
Yeah.
And so Madame Mura wakes up. She's kind of panicked at first, but the maid reassures her. Apparently, he left with a big old smile on his face.
Mm.
So she helps her out of bed, starts doing her hair again. I don't know. I guess that's her job.
And all she really does is brush Madame Mura's hair.
Oh, until later when she gets a bit freaky.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's got a few of her own stories in here.
Oh, God.
We suddenly cut to like a food hall, a restaurant or something. It was difficult to really to know what it was. But someone is saying like, I masterminded the whole thing. And we're kind of getting this, it's almost like a voiceover as we're approaching these people sitting at the table. And I can't remember who these characters were. I wrote the dialogue, but not the character names. But the other guy's like, well, Mr. Mastermind, how's this for a true mind fuck? So there's our first title drop. He says, while your daughter was getting fucked, some asshole dressed as a ninja broke in and stole the black magic jewels, releasing the black magic hexes.
So these are just random characters having this conversation next to the ninja thief.
So the ninja's behind them. Yeah.
But these are like unrelated characters.
No, I forgot to know who's actually talking.
I feel like it was. They were just like two people having a chat.
Right.
But they must be connected in some way.
Probably.
But yeah, very... I was quite confused by this.
But yeah, of course, the ninja guy is sitting right behind them. He spits out his tea, and then he's like, fuck, black magic hexes. But he's like, nah, they don't exist. He doesn't, despite being attacked by Kyonshi. He's like, no, black magic doesn't exist.
Not the sharpest tool in the shed.
No. Then we get introduced to one of the greatest characters, the Buddhist monk. So we're back at the house, and the house is like a fucking temple. It is extremely elaborate. The maid walks in, and the monk apparently is here for a blessing. And Madame Mira comes out, takes his bags, they go inside, and we get this insanely long, like, Buddhist blessing magic scene. That
is this in the bath?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it goes on forever and just gets more and more intense and elaborate.
Mm.
And it starts off just like as nothing. It starts off with just her taking a bath, and we get the voiceover of this monk, and he talks about a great disturbance in the atmosphere and an evil hex has infiltrated the land. And she has a very strange way of taking a bath, by the way, doesn't she? I don't know if you noticed this, but she's like waving her arms around, almost like dancing in this bath. Yeah. It's very magical and outer-worldly. The voiceover of the monk goes on to say, "What was beautiful yesterday is ugly today, and an evil curse has fallen over. Those who are pure in spirit are the most likely infected." And he prepares Madame Mira to defeat the black magic.
Yeah.
And because of her relationship with Suri, the drunk asshole husband, there she must be chosen as his opposite, and that will make her strong and be able to defeat the evil hex.
Yeah. So essentially, this guy is like the corrupt governor. He's an evil guy. He's done a hex on the town.
Yep.
The whole town's fucked.
Yep.
And the husband is down with this. He's become engulfed in evil.
Yes.
And now Madame Mira is set up as like the opposition to this. Okay.
Which, like, I wasn't expecting already for like the battle of good and evil to happen so early in the film.
I watched this twice. The second time I watched it, I was like, wait, we get to this part so quickly. Yeah. Like it's like what, like 10 minutes into it or something? Yeah.
And it starts just so innocently. She's having a bath and the monk's like, "Oh, I'm here to do a blessing."
Yeah. And now it's battle time.
And it's full on.
Yeah.
And it is one of the greatest battles I've ever seen. It's awesome.
But it's very much like, you know, this is very similar to like maybe Red Spell, Spells Red or Box's Omen, like a lot of other, like any kind of, if you've seen any black magic Hong Kong film, they all have this scene.
Yeah.
Which is a monk doing a whole lot of prayers and a villain sorcerer doing a bunch of prayers and a bunch of crazy shit
things flying around, lots of spinning.
Spinning is key. Yes. It's essential.
Yeah. I don't get the point of the spinning, what it's supposed to represent, but it's very visually pleasing. Yeah,
it just looks good.
So we cut back to the emperor, who gets given some paper from Tsuri, and the emperor's like, "Your wife has joined forces with the wizard." So they refer to the monk as the wizard. I don't know if that's just a translation thing or what, but they call him a wizard, and they vow to stop her. So he then folds the paper, puts it in a little statue of a woman.
Yeah, it's like a little voodoo doll. Yeah,
and starts praying to the king of evil.
Mm.
Oh, it all just gets so fucking good here.
He does some of those... what would you describe when people do this? Doesn't translate to the pun.
No,
you know those kind of moves? The black magic moves? Where they've got like a finger up and they're doing a...
Yeah, there's lots of quick hand movements. Yeah. Like, I love
that stuff.
Casting spells, like... I don't know, hand incantations. I don't know. It's like,
it's great.
So he's praying to the king of evil. Fire starts erupting out of the table. There's these like zoom ins and zooms out like really rapidly, flashes of reds and green. There's a old man bearded statue.
Yeah, what was that meant to be? The wizard or the monk?
It could, yeah,
like a version, like a voodoo doll thing of him.
I think so.
And but there's no context to it, so they just keep cutting to this bearded man statue, and you're like, looks like a kind of Christmas decoration.
It does, doesn't it? Like a little garden gnome or something. Then the governor's hands start smoking, and he slaps the statue. It flies into the fire. The praying madam is having like some weird internal mental battle. The statue flies then out of the fire, and the governor catches it, stabs it with a pin. It's like a kind of like a voodoo doll type pin stabbing thing. She grasps her chest in pain, we get that crazy kaleidoscope effect of the monk doing some healing spell now. So he's healing the madam after she's been stabbed in the chest. And then she just starts spinning around.
Spinning.
Starts doing the loop.
It's some... She's on, like, a little... what do you call that?
Like,
you know,
it's like a little turntable, yeah. I guess, you know?
But it's, like... It's, like, in the shot.
Oh, is it? I didn't even notice
Which
it.
Makes it very funny. It's, like, a wide shot. And she's, like, on this little... What do you call those? You know when you go to, like, Yumcha and you're, like,
spinning
the table? Like a lazy Susan.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like a lazy Susan, but it's spinning really fast.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, it's great.
And then the governor asks the evil king to send his evil goblins.
Oh, mate. These goblins fucking suck. These goblins are so lame. Like, when he's like, I'm going to send some evil goblins, I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
This is going to be great. The goblins are fucking ridiculous.
They are dumb.
One, so they're just men. They're regular men. They're just normal guys. One's got, like, blue face paint, and the other's got pink face paint. This scene reminded me of... You know, like, every now and then, like, if you turn on, like, Japanese TV, and there's, like, a Japanese sketch show with, like, characters dressed up as, like, demons.
Right,
or something.
Yeah.
It's, like, that level of makeup and effects where it's just very goofy.
It is.
And their performances kind of match that energy of their costume
really
as well.
Odd thing to throw in there. It's very comical.
Yeah.
And then, then they have, like, bald caps on and, like, like weird, like, pink and blue... curly hair wigs.
Yeah, it's very fucking silly. And they're kind of just like, they're in this room with Madame Mura running about, like, around the candles. I got very nervous watching this. This looks like it was really dangerous to shoot, because there's so many candles in here.
Yeah.
They've got these, like, long robes on.
Yeah.
That's a fucking fire hazard right there.
I don't think China cares.
But yeah, they're just being general pests. They're not
tormenting her, I guess.
Yeah, tormenting her, but not in a kind of like, this is a nightmare kind of way. Just kind of annoying. They're just kind of annoying her.
I guess they're trying to break her praying concentration. Yeah, is that the point? I don't know.
But then she's like encouraged to start praying to Buddha, right? Mm. So she's doing all these like prayers, and the goblins are just freaking out hearing these prayers. But then very quickly work out they can just block their ears.
Yeah, what
to counteract?
They summon. Is it candles and shove the candles into their ears?
Yeah,
is that what they do?
I think so. Yeah, it's really absurd.
It's really odd. But then they take like a piece of cloth from her robe and start like unraveling it, and she's spinning around and praying as she rotates and rotates.
But it's like endless.
This
cloth.
I love it.
Yeah, I was expecting, because this is a porno, that it was going to be like, oh, she'd be nude suddenly, but it just keeps unraveling and unraveling.
I don't know what it is, but seeing someone just like rotate like that was very pleasing. I really enjoyed it. Like, it's so like, simple.
Yeah. It is visually very mad, right?
Yeah.
Like, the whole scene has that kind of madcap energy.
Yeah.
And all of these films, like you say, they all feature the spinning. Mm. It's a trope of the black magic wizard monk battle, right?
Yeah.
And it works.
It
like,
does.
There's a reason it's a trope.
And, you know, as you said, it's so... easily done. You know, put him on a lazy Susan, just give him a little spin. But there's just, and no, it just looks so great.
Well, I was actually thinking
magical,
that watching this, like, there are things that this film does that are simple, but they're very effective. Like this spinning thing, and later on, like, the kind of very simple sort of levitation stuff they do. It always looks good. It's always like fun to watch, right, in these films. But yeah, this whole fight's a really good example of that.
Yeah.
You know, not pricey effects, but it works well, right?
And going back to what you said about the candles, there are candles literally everywhere.
Yeah.
And just having a woman rotate around in the middle of a room surrounded by hundreds of candles, like, visually, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So easily achieved, though.
Mm. Then the fight ends very... abruptly. The monk just decides he's going to end it by throwing a cloth over the goblins.
Yeah, I'm not sure. His hand kind of like explodes into a ball of flames, right?
Right. But he like throws like a magical cloth over them, right? And they just disappear.
Okay.
Is that what happens? I think
maybe you're right, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I was like, that just seemed to end suddenly. Yeah.
But that was such a long battle scene. Mm. It was really cool. I don't know, I went into this just expecting a porn film with some Kyonshi and some horror stuff, and then this came out of nowhere. I was like, this is fucking great.
I will say that that's what makes this, like, I've seen better battles. Like, you know, Red Spells Red has a much more elaborate battle than this. Yeah. But I think seeing this in the middle of a porn film is quite mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Because they've put a lot of effort into this scene. Oh, yeah.
The sets alone were great. And you got to think about the costumes, the practical effects, everything about it. Like, they must have had a decent budget, which is just really, I know, just baffles me as to...
Yeah, how, what is this?
What is this film?
Yeah, how did this get made?
Are we just talking about someone else's film that's really readily available right now?
Yeah, yeah. Like, is it under another title, like, easier to find? Yeah. Or, yeah, God knows. But, I mean, but it has... The hardcore porn is there, you know? Like, it's clearly part of this film.
Yeah.
So, fuck, I don't know.
Anyway, moving on. Oh, I love this. So the Battle of the Minds finishes, and the Emperor's mistress really isn't happy because he lost. She's like, what kind of dark priest are you anyway?
Yeah, she's very annoyed.
And after the fight, the governor's mistress is like, we need to put a stop to his wife.
They hate this wife.
I know.
It feels like we're kind of dropped in the middle of this tale. Like, how do we get to this point? How did we get to here?
I don't know.
Why is the husband turned against his wife?
That's a good point.
Because normally, like, this sort of story, we would have the governor and this woman, like, corrupting the husband. But he's already
corrupted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that happened before the credit sequence that we...
Right.
Whilst we were watching the credits of another film...
There was another scene.
There was like a prelude.
That was just taped over, right?
So we cut back to Suri. He's had a few glasses of wine. He's already feeling a little bit good.
Oh, mate, he's out of his fucking mind. He's drunk as a skunk.
He does. Is there a fuck here as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So he's with the mistress, right? Who's...
Oh, yeah.
Who is the kind of the... Yeah, like
she's
most...
She's a bit of the instigator, isn't she?
Yeah, she's the most evil character in this. She's like the governor's mistress and Suri's mistress. And she seems to be the one that's like, come on, get rid of this wife.
But the governor and Suri are also in cahoots. So she's fucking them both.
Yeah, it's a throuple. Oh, they're in a throuple.
A throuple.
This is a throuple.
I've never heard that word before.
Wait, really?
Throuple.
You've never heard throuple?
Throuple. Oh, like couple and then throuple?
Yeah, yeah. So it's three, yeah.
I've never heard that.
I was talking about throuples just today, because with my coworker.
Are you in a throuple?
No, I'm not, but my coworker was talking about being on, like, some forum and throuples got brought up. And she was like, oh, that's quite a rare thing to be in a throuple. And then multiple people in this, like, Facebook page were all talking about being in throuples. But I was saying, like, throuple is kind of common. Common-ish.
Okay.
Like, for... three people to be in some weird... Well, I shouldn't say some weird. Whatever works, you know?
Yeah, you do you.
Some kind of relationship where they all live together. Yeah. But you never hear about four people.
What would you call that?
That's what I was asking today.
Quadruple?
Quadruple. And then what about five? Quintuple? Is that what you call it?
That kind of sounds like when you have five babies at the same time.
But we were also saying, like, all right, so you got a throuple.
Yeah.
You got maybe a quadruple. But then once it's five, it's kind of a cult, isn't it? At that point. It's no longer like a
relationship. It just becomes a party, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, you've never heard throuple before.
No.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Because they're in one in old Bindfuck, the governor, Suri, and the mistress.
This is a throuple.
This is one of those throuples.
They should get the hunchback in there, make it a quadruple.
Oh, God, quasi, no.
Quasi-ruple. But yes, Suri, the husband, he's drunk, having a shag with his mistress. It's a very long, long shag. The only highlight of this is old mate, the hunchback.
Oh, man. Quasimodo's outside.
He's just panicking.
Yeah.
He's like, oh. He's hating it.
It's so good. And it's such a long scene, and it keeps cutting back to Quasimodo just going, no!
Can you imagine if you were trying to do a wank to this porn, and you're like, all right, nearly there, and then they cut to the hunchback, you're like, fuck! God damn it.
Oh, no.
Trying to do a wank.
I just still can't fathom why they thought the need to include a hunchback in this film.
So unnecessary. It's so unnecessary, but it's my favorite thing about this film.
But then Tsuri's wife comes back. Oh, so the reason he's freaking out is because he's dedicated to Madame Mura, right?
Hunchback and, loves Madame Mura.
And he's witnessing, or at least hearing, Tsuri fuck the mistress. So he's just like, I don't know, running circles in the courtyard. Like, yeah. But Madame Mura comes back, and mid-fuck, Tsuri's like, you gotta go! You gotta leave!
Yeah.
And it's great. She runs out, and Igor, it's like Igor now, Quasimodo, starts beating her with a broom! Yeah. He's got a broom, and he starts smacking her, and she says, you damn hunchback, quit hitting me!
He's the real hero of this film. Oh, boy.
Oh, man, that was too funny. Having a porn film that just keeps cutting back to a hunchback screaming. Oh. That's
so funny. And it is, like, literally in the middle of a hardcore porn scene. You're, like, getting close-ups of, like full fucking, and then just cut to, like, what a fucking joke. Oh, my God, that's so funny. Oh,
man.
God.
I need to cool down.
Then we cut back to evil Governor Peng.
Yeah.
And it's a very alarming edit, because we cut straight to, like, these feet just on a man's back. Like, it's like a close-up of these feet mashing this back.
Yeah.
And we realize that mistress from the thruple is giving Ping a back massage because he's so stressed from all the black magic he's been doing. But that scene has nothing to do with anything. No. He's just hating this massage.
Yeah.
And that's it. I like that they threw that in there.
There you go. Painful massage.
I've never had a massage in my life.
I've been to one, like, actual massage parlor in my life.
In Japan, or?
No, it was actually in England, but I went to, like, a Thai place, and, this isn't really relative, I guess it's relative, but I can't relax, like, at all. You know when they say, like, go for a massage and relax, like, I can't relax.
Yeah, I would be the same.
And I never feel the benefits of a massage unless it's, like, really fucking, like, digging deep.
Right.
So I went in for, like, oh, I forgot the name. It's deep something. There's a word for it. Deep.
Don't know. Deep tissue.
Yeah.
Deep tissue massage.
I think it's that, where they really, like, they get their elbows and shit involved. Yeah.
It's like my worst nightmare.
No, I love it because, you know, if it's, like, a little slight rub, it's like, oh, you know, that was pleasant. But you don't really, they didn't, like, work out the knots or anything, you know?
Sure, sure.
So if I'm going to get a massage, I wanted to really fucking dig deep in there, you know? But that shit hurts.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't do it. I, like, every now and then, because I'm a very stressed man and have, like, knots all over my back sort of thing. But anytime, like, Tana, you know, tries to give me a massage, I'm, like, fucking screaming immediately. Right. Like, it's so painful.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I can't imagine. Part of me is, like, maybe it would be good for me to get that. But I think I would not be able to handle it. Like, I wouldn't be able to relax, as you say. I'd be, like, freaking out if someone's massaging me. But yeah, I can't do it.
My friend and his partner went for a couples massage once.
Wait, what does that mean? You go together and you're, like, lying next to each
other. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. You're not massaging each other.
I mean, do that at home. You have to go somewhere for that. But he was saying, like, I can't remember which country they were in, but he didn't quite, I don't know, there was a language barrier.
Right.
And so I think they said, like, you know, I'll take off your robes and, like, you know, get on the bed kind of thing. So in dressing gowns, you know.
Yeah.
So he, like, completely stripped off, completely naked.
Right.
And just, like, laid on this, like...
like, no bed, blanket, like, or anything.
Nothing whatsoever. Right. Laying there with his dick out.
Oh, no.
And the staff walks in and were like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you know. And so he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then he was like... yeah, actually, in hindsight, I only went for a face massage, so I don't know why I did that. No, I think one of the things, like, when I went, I was also kind of, like, nervous if they're going to, like, ask if I want something extra.
Right.
You know? Because you got to, like, you know, there's all these, like, seedy massage
places. Sure, sure. You don't know where you're going, right?
No, and it's like, you know, in Japan as well, you walk down the roads, they're like, oh, massage, you know, and there's all these massage parlors and stuff. And I think, yeah, I'd fucking love a massage right now. But you never know, are you going to an actual massage place?
Yeah, or just a wank salon.
Right. They'll give you, they'll squeeze your elbow for a little bit and then just jerk you off, you know?
Squeeze your elbow? Of all the places, that'd be fucking
it's like, weird. You're not there to get a massage, you're there to get wanged off, right?
Yeah.
So when I went for that massage, like, it was a really good massage, but I was like, oh my God, what if she tries to drive me off? Or what if she asks if I want a fucking handy? So
you just say no.
What if I want one? It's too much to think about. I couldn't relax. Never went again. I should have, like, confirmed beforehand. I was like, look, are you going to ask if I want a hand job?
Yeah.
I need to know upfront.
Yeah. Because I need to consider it.
Oh, dear. That's a long tangent. There you go. All right. Enough about hand jobs. So, Madam Mura. She goes back to bed.
Oh, yeah.
And she finds the hairpin.
Yeah, from the other woman. The mistress's hairpin.
She was right in suspecting his affair. She has a cry. She starts coughing. Her health immediately deteriorates. Yeah. She starts coughing up blood.
Coughing up blood.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
it's quite a reaction
to an affair. Yes, yeah. I would agree. Yeah.
Hairpin.
Coughing up blood.
Yeah. Oh, then we get one of the most insane scenes.
Oh, I love it.
In this film. So the husband, Suri, he's like drunkenly wandering around the house.
Yeah.
And he walks past the maid's room and he's like, oh, I haven't fucked the maid yet. May as well get it done now. But he pokes a hole through, what do you call that?
The paper screen thing?
Yeah, the paper screen. And he's looking through. And this is where all my... So I said before, I was like, all the hardcore stuff seems to be inserted into it. This is when it's like, okay, this is actually the actors doing stuff at this point. But he looks through the wall and the maid is masturbating with a belt?
No, it's a whip.
Oh, that's the whip. Sorry, yeah, because we see it later. So she's got a whip and she's like... kind of,
it's like as you imagine as you dry yourself off after a shower,
like in a cartoon or something, as you dry in between your legs. But yeah, she does that for a bit, and then it just gets like quite full on. I mean, maybe you can explain this more to me, Guy, but I didn't know what this object was, but there's like a big stick.
I think.
What is that?
She starts masturbating with like a pestle. It's like a mortar and pestle. Sure.
All right, that makes sense. Yeah, so there's a big pestle that she takes. And this is when it's like, okay, this is actually her. This is the actress just shoving that up inside herself.
Mm.
So full hardcore. Yeah, not insert shots. This is actually the actress doing this. So if this is illegal in China, that's a pretty bold move for an actress to be fully face on screen doing this.
Yeah.
And Suri, does he like accidentally fall into the room or something?
Maybe she notices him, yeah.
But she invites him in.
Yeah.
And this is quite an amazing bit of comedic editing here.
Yeah.
Because she's like, yeah, come on in. And I feel like you're kind of expecting it to move into a typical sort of sex scene. Yeah. But she's like, all right, let's do it. But then we cut straight to her whipping him.
Mm.
Full S&M mode.
Yeah, and she's like, she's just wearing the S&M gear as well.
She's got it on, and she's like, first it's like her whipping him from behind. Mm. His back's all like smashed to smithereens. Yeah.
She says, she's like, had enough. And he goes, I've been bad. So she says, turn around then.
Oh, yeah.
And so then
he turns around. And, I mean, look, I don't want to body shame, but what the fuck?
That like, is the smallest.
Yeah. And
penis.
Like, maybe it was very cold when they filmed there or something, but it's so small that it's kind of confronting. Because you're like, what's happening? So he's turned around from the front, and I was confused by what I was seeing, because it's like a little... A little bump in a big bush.
Yeah.
And then his dick is getting wet.
She's whipping the dick and it's like bobbling. It's bobbling on impact.
I mean, barely bobbling. It's more like vibrating on the spot. Yeah. But it's getting... She's like slapping that dick to pieces.
Oh.
But fucking hell.
It's,
good lord.
I laughed. And I was thinking, Dave is going to love this scene.
I was laughing, but I was also just so... Honestly, like, baffled when he first turned around. I just didn't even know what I was looking at. I was so confused. Yeah. Especially because we've seen, like, hardcore in search of, which is definitely not the same actor.
Yeah, right. Definitely a stunt cock in there.
Very, very confronting shot to see. And then she's, like, licking his back wounds as well.
Yeah.
So it sort of starts to transition into something a little less... S&M-y, right?
Yeah.
But we've got, like, this transition moment where he's, like, lying down, like, wincing.
Yeah.
And she's licking his back wounds. Oh, and then it kind of, shifts into, like, normal sex.
It was really just, like, out of nowhere, that scene. Because, we're, like, in fucking ancient China. They're all, like, wearing robes and ancient gods. And she's suddenly, like, dressed as a dominatrix.
Smacking about this tiny dick.
I've told you about that micro penis story, right? The one I was in Shinsai Bashi, and
I think that's worth telling on the pod.
Have you seen a real micro penis in real life?
Yeah. Wait, I think your micro penis story is better, so I'll tell mine first,
okay.
And then you can one up me on the micro dick tale. You remember I told you that story? I went to an izakaya years ago. And it's, like, a fucking chaotic izakaya, like, fucking wasted stuff. I think I've told you about it before, where I went there once, and when I walked in, there was just a woman on the floor.
Right.
Drunkenly unconscious.
Oh,
I'm like, shit, I hope she's all right.
Yeah.
And then later in the night, I realized that she was one of the waitresses, but she was just fucked up.
No way.
This place was absolutely insane in down near Dotonbori. One time I went there and met my friends, and I'm like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom pretty much straight away. So I hadn't even had a drink yet.
Yeah.
I was not ready. I was dead sober when this happened. Went into the bathroom, was using the urinal. Hear someone else come in behind me.
No.
This place, we used to refer to it as the porno izakaya, by the way. So all the walls and the toilet were covered in
this.
Porn.
Yeah,
just like magazine porn cutouts, just to set the scene.
Yeah, yeah.
So being in a urinal surrounded by pornography.
I bet he didn't feel too good going in there, did he?
But as I was peeing... I just hear, like, this guy come in. And you know when someone's, like, so close to you can, like, feel their body heat kind of thing? So he was really close behind me as I'm weeing. And then he just starts going, speaking in, like, broken English.
Yeah.
So he's like, hello, hello, thank you, how are you, hello, goodbye. Like, just random, like, English phrases that he knows. And I can't pee because I'm so uncomfortable. And I'm, like, literally, like, going, fuck off. Fuck off! As I'm trying to piss, and there's only the one urinal, so I can't move. And I'm just like, I can't do this. And I zip up, turn around, and he's standing right behind me, this guy, random man, maybe mid-20s, chubby dude, pants down, dick out.
Yeah.
And his dick was... it made me kind of... my heart skipped a beat when I saw it. It looked like my pinky finger.
Right.
Like, just the end.
Right.
In this giant, giant bush. Just out.
Just out.
Just out. Just, like, right behind me. Like, centimeters away from my body. And I, like, freaked out. And ran into the cubicle, locked myself in.
You ran into the cubicle?
Yeah. So I went into the cubicle, locked myself in. And then he was just banging on the door.
Oh, what?
And he's like, hello. Hello, goodbye, thank you, how are you? And
like, that's scary. Dimmery,
and then eventually he left. But
that's scary.
But then I came out and I was like to my friends, like, I just got fucking harassed by a man with a micro penis. And then later in the night we saw him unconscious on the floor of this
place.
Oh,
really?
But yeah, that was like the first time, my first interaction with a micro penis.
First interaction.
But it was, that was an intense thing to witness. But your one is a bit more...
No, but, you know, hearing that and...
yours is
heartwarming. No, but hearing that and also, like, remembering mine, I feel like people with micro penises, they enjoy the kind of humiliation, you know? So they like to show...
Maybe that's what he was
They like
doing.
To show it off and get humiliated, and that's how they get off.
Sure.
Because obviously they can't have sex,
maybe
right?
Maybe not all of them.
Not all of them. I'm sure some feel some shame. I'm sorry if we have any micro penis listeners here, but I'm sure, like, some people feel some kind of embarrassment about it. Yeah. But I think because they can't fuck, right? They're not going to be in any pornos anytime soon. Like, they have to get off in different ways. And I think just hearing yours and then my...
It could be what that was. Yeah.
It's like a humiliation thing. So that's a huge fetish for a lot of people.
Mm.
So, yeah, when I was in... I was also in Shinsaibashi, but actually a different bar. Mm-hmm. I was in Farplane and I just finished work and I was just like, I'm just going to have a beer and then go home. And I was sitting at the counter and suddenly, like, this girl starts, like, calling over to me. Mm. And she's like... Is it in Japanese? She's like, hey, white guy.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? You know. And she's like... She asked me how to say Nikubenki in English.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, it's human toilet. And she was like, human toilet. She's like, I am a human toilet. And I was like, okay. She's like, come drink with us. I was like, yeah, fuck it, why not? I'll drink with a human toilet. And so I joined this table and she took off her trousers and lifted up her underwear. And on her inner thigh, she had this human toilet tattooed on her.
What does a human toilet tattoo look like?
It's like in kanji, the name for it is
Nikubenki. Right.
Yeah. So someone who gets fucking shit and pissed on and stuff. And
right.
A bit of a... one of them.
Yeah.
One of them. And so I was drinking with like this group. There was two girls there and there was, you know, the owner, the older lady with the big eyelashes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was this really fat dude.
Mm.
Right.
This is like all part of the same
group. It was just these four people and then I joined them. And we were chatting and this quiet dude was really quiet. And they were like, oh, he's got a tiny dick.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, really? And he was like, yeah, you want to see? And I'm just like...
Immediately?
Yeah, he was like, want to see? And he kind of like immediately stood up and started like undoing his zipper. And the girl was like, shut up! Shut the fuck! You know, shut the fuck up! Sit down! Like, they were like... And they were like, he was like, oh, okay. You know? And we were just having a, you know, drink and a chat and having a laugh. But he was like really anxious, right?
Mm.
And by that time I had like a few beers and he was just like dying to show his
He really
penis,
wanted to
right?
show
you. And then the girls, he was obviously buying all of their drinks.
Right.
He was paying for everyone's drinks, right? And then they were like, all right, fucking, hurry, I'll get it out then. He was like, oh, thank you. So he stands up, it's in the middle of a pub, right?
Yeah.
And he undoes the thing, pulls down his trousers and mighty fuck. Like, you know, I heard the term micro penis before, but I'd never seen one before.
Yeah.
And it was literally like someone's like outy belly button or something.
Right. Mm.
It was tiny. And I was quite amazed.
Mm.
I was like, you know, it wasn't like, oh, why is some dude showing me his dick? I was like, my goodness. I was like, so that's what a micro penis is. I was like, so what can you do with that, my friend? And he was like, not a lot. And I was like, can you even like jerk off with that? And he's like, nope. And he's like, what? He's like, what I do?
Oh, yeah. Like, remember you telling me this.
And he told me how he jerks off. And I never would have thought of this in my wildest dreams. What he does is he lays down on the floor, right? Face down on the carpet and shimmies up and down. And the kind of the friction of his little willy against the carpet makes him do a little micro cum.
But wait, are his balls normal size?
I don't remember the balls.
I feel like the balls are normal size.
I don't remember the balls.
I think you have a micro penis, but not necessarily micro balls.
Really?
I think so, yeah. Were you, I remember because when we were having our micro penis chats the first time you told me that story, did I ever show you that absolutely fantastic, it's like a British talk show of all these men with micro penises?
No.
And it's just... Oh mate, it's a lot.
Is
it's
it?
A lot. So it's all these like British lads that are on TV talking about their micro penises, all lined up in a row, and they're all like very British as well. And one of them's like, "It's not about the size. It's about the driver, isn't it?" Like, and all this kind of stuff. Wait,
it's about the driver.
Yeah, something like that. It's not about the size, is it? It's about, you know, who's behind the wheel.
I've never heard that.
And it's just like...
I've heard it's not about the size, it's how you use it a lot of the time. I've never heard it's about the driver.
It's about the... Yeah. Oh man, and it's just like they're all, but it's not like an exploitative show, right? So they're trying to be like quite positive. It's like, yeah, well, there you go, you know,
everyone's different.
And it is like, you know, it's fucking horrible when you think about it. Like, it's what a horrible thing in this world that is so obsessed with dick size, right? You know, and that being like a mark of like manhood to be born with a micro penis, like the impact that must have on people, and like, you know, maybe it's good that these guys have found an outlet for it.
But this guy in today's movie just goes to show, even with a micro penis, you can be in a porno.
But I don't think it's his willy that they're cutting to in those close-ups.
Yeah, but he's still getting, you know, he's having fun with the maid.
Yeah.
And he's still getting, you know,
still getting it
whipped
out
and having a good time.
Is he having a good time?
Wow.
That's what I thought watching this. And, you know, anytime I see nudity in films, right, no matter who it is, what it is, I'm always like, God, like, to do that, to have this out there in the world, to have your naked body recorded, I could never do that. I'm so ashamed of, like, my fat, disgusting body. I would never want it out nude on film forever, right?
Right.
So, like, for this guy as well, you know, to get his little willy out on film, like, wow.
I don't know. I can't remember who said it, but I heard a quote from someone. And someone was saying, like, yeah, fuck it. Whilst you're young, you know, take pictures of your naked self. Save those pictures, you know.
Yeah.
Upload them, post them around. Like, immortalize yourself when you're young and
that
you have a good body.
I feel like I read that.
Yeah, because everyone's going to get old and wrinkly and gray and flabby and, like, saggy and shit. So, yeah. And not that I'm fucking, you know, entering any porn films any recently, but that kind of resonated with me a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. While you're young, get it out.
Yeah. Because, like, fuck it. I mean, well, we don't even know when this film was made, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of the people in this film are a lot older, don't look as good as they did in this film.
Yeah. But, like, it takes a lot of balls, I think, to I mean, like, I didn't mean that as a pun, but, yeah, I think it takes a lot of courage to do it, and it's something that I do not possess. Mm. I do not possess the courage to do that. I was telling you just before you recorded this, I watched the movie Suntan from 2016, Greek film. Most penises and butts and pussies that I've ever seen in a film.
Right.
Just all out on display, all different shapes. No micros, but, like, a whole variety. Mm. And, like, even people with, like, decent bodies, it's like, it takes a lot to just to have that all out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a lot.
It's a lot. That was a very long tangent.
It's like half the episode.
I think that's the longest tangent we've done in a while. Jesus.
All the listens just, like, stop.
Everyone's thinking, when the fuck are they going to stop talking about
micro penises? It is one of my favorite topics, to be fair.
Is it? Right, I forgot even where we were in the movie.
We had the big fuck scene with the maid and Siri. Oh, yeah. And then we're back to Madame Mura. She's now, like, just bleeding from the mouth. An absolute fucking mess. And she starts, like, hallucinating.
Oh, yeah.
A kind of hazy sex scene of Suri and the mistress having sex.
Yeah.
And it's clearly like a fantasy scene, like the way it's shot. And I got kind of confused by the next scene. I was wondering if you could shed any light on this, but we cut to the streets outside and there's wind blowing everywhere and people are just freaking out.
I think that's
is this
like
part of the hex?
The evil, like, coming down on the town, I guess.
We don't really see much of this hex outside of this moment.
Strong winds are blowing. That's about it, yeah. And the mistress runs over to Suri and she has a special solution from the governor. And apparently if he gives this thing to his wife, she won't be a bother anymore.
Mm.
And it is far easier than a knife.
Yeah,
so now they're just straight up trying to kill
her. Murdering her.
Yeah. So we cut back Madame Mura's place. Suri comes in. She's coughing out up a fit. And he's like, I've got special medicine for you. And he's like, take it and we'll talk things over. And then just walks off. He's like, yeah, drink this medicine and we'll talk later. Bye.
Yeah.
Just
and, then she's just like, all right.
Down the hatch.
Yeah. Just immediately. Yeah. Not questioning it at all.
But immediately starts freaking out, rolling around in pain, crying for help. She's like, I can't breathe.
Dude,
my brain is on fire.
This scene is mad. Like, yeah, she's a fucking mess. And old mate, Hunchback Aki, stumbles in with water to help her out.
I mean, it's not gonna do much.
Yeah,
right?
He's got like a he's got a cloth and he's like patting her down. But I love this as well because she's like very obsessed with brushing her hair. That's like her favorite thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And she asks for a comb when she's in this state.
Yeah, yeah. It's like her comfort thing, right?
Yeah. The hunchback gets the comb. She starts combing her hair and like chunks of her hair are coming off. That always grosses me out. That's one of my biggest fears, like hair just like falling out,
like in big clumps.
It's
something really just like just primally
just
horrific.
It's like hair coming out, teeth coming out. It's like it is like that, a primal fear, right?
But it's in here, it's just so well set up because she's she's clearly in a horrific state and she goes to her only like comfort thing, which is combing her hair. And even that leads to more terror. And she rips out clumps of her hair and she goes to the mirror and just starts tearing out clumps. And then starts tearing off her skin.
Yeah.
Like her face, just clawing away at her face.
And it's a really good effect as well. This is the best looking scene in the film, I thought. I was really impressed with the effects of this. And then the husband, Suri, comes in, sees Mura in this absolute state, and there's this amazing shot, my favorite shot of the film. She like looks over to him, sort of her back to him, and then she turns and looks at him, and it's very like 1980s monster kind of shot, right?
I thought it was very like Bakeneko kind of style.
It's like that, but it's like gorier, right?
Yeah,
it's like grosser and grimmer. And then she's like going over to him like dying, shouting at him, screaming at him, like she's realized that this is all because of him, right?
Yeah.
He's poisoned her. And he kicks her away. And then the hunchback, he gets involved.
Yeah,
he comes over, starts like fighting the husband, beating him up. But then Suri, the husband, gets like a vase or a vase and like smashes it over his head.
After Quasimodo gets knocked out, Mura comes back and she's like, how could you betray me? And I remember that the score is very erratic here as well. It's a very nightmarish scene. And then he goes to choke her. He completely chokes her out. She dies.
Mm.
So he's killed his wife.
Yeah.
She's done.
Poisoned her, choked her, done.
Done.
And killed the hunchback.
Yeah.
As an added bonus.
Yeah. The emperor walks in. He's like, well done.
The emperor?
The emperor. The governor. Emperor seems more appropriate.
He looks more like an emperor than a governor.
Yeah, whenever I get rid of governor, I'm just like, that doesn't work for me. I kind of, in my notes, I refer to him as the emperor. But anyway, but he's not the only person there. The terrible ninja thief is also lurking around.
Yeah.
He pokes a hole through the paper and he peeps as to what they're up to.
Peeping ninja.
He's a peeping ninja. Now, the emperor governor, Fu Manchu,
Ping,
and Tzu, Li, Tsuri, are performing now like a ritual on Madame Mura so that she doesn't return from the dead. And they say, finally, we have we have control over the hex. And they kind of like put all these, I don't know, talismans and spell binding objects and
jewelry
shit.
To stop her moving, right?
Yeah. But of course, that's what the ninja thief wants.
That's what he's after.
He does. So he sneaks in and he takes all of the gold necklaces, of course. He leaves, but then he's like, I forgot to check her mouth for gold fillings, which is very disgusting. That's very grim. So he goes back into like the tomb, opens her mouth. Do you remember what's inside her mouth?
Is it an onion?
There's an onion slice in
there.
A
slice of onion.
He takes an onion slice.
Is that like a vampire-ish
thing?
Like
no
not
idea.
Garlic, but onion in this case?
No idea. But he's like, I could use this for cooking.
Yeah.
No idea why there is an onion in there. But then she kind of starts to float out of her body. I don't even know how you call that
Yeah, it's like superimposed, like her image.
Yeah.
Coming out of the body. Yeah.
Love it. And yeah, so she floats out of her body. She lifts him up, kisses him.
Gives him a little kiss.
And then he starts spinning around, more
classic
spinning.
Spin.
Love it. Then we cut back to Tsuri having a fuck with a mistress.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned before about like the floating stuff.
Yeah.
So this is where we start to see this. So the Madame Mura ghost is just floating around everywhere. And it's a very simple effect, but it's very effective. And she floats over to where they are and then blows smoke out of her mouth into the bedroom. Again, like, simple effect, but really cool. Mm,
that's great.
Like, I guess she just had a puff of a cigarette and then blew it out when they rolled the shot.
But it seems
looks
like
really
there's
good.
There's a lot in there.
Yeah. Yeah. She stored it in there like a chipmunk in her cheeks. Oh, yeah. And then, yeah, this gets pretty mad in this scene. So I guess her blowing the smoke out is her, like, entering the room.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as Tsuri is having a shag with his mistress, the mistress keeps turning into the ghost of Madame Mura.
Yeah.
So she's sort of possessing the body of the mistress. And he, as he's like mid-coitus, he's like seeing his like dead wife's face and freaks out, sort of hitting her and panicking. And then it goes back to being the mistress again. And he starts getting crazier and crazier until he starts choking what he thinks is his dead wife.
Yeah.
And smothering her with a cushion. But then takes the cushion away and realizes he's killed his mistress.
Is she also done now?
She's done.
She's done.
So Hunchback done. Madame Mura done.
Half done. She's
kind
of
done.
She's back.
She's a ghost, but she's done.
Yeah.
Her body's done. And now mistress is done and dusted as well.
So it's funny. Now Tsuri like runs away and he runs into the emperor, the governor, also having a shag and completely cock blocks him, ruins the whole ordeal.
Yeah, but, and this is the first scene as well. Like, so we've had that, the maid scene before where we've seen kind of hardcore stuff of her like shoving, what was it, like
the
a
pestle
into her. But then this scene of Ping, the emperor governor, having a shag with a random character that we've not seen, this is not insert shots.
No.
This is actual, like, hardcore sex in wide shots. And it's sort of the first time we've seen that. So this really threw me off as well. So I'm like, okay, so this is not what I thought it was. Yeah. Very, very confusing.
Yeah. That's it. So, like, Tsuri, like, runs in and he begs for help from the emperor. And he's followed by the floating Madame Mura. And she kind of floats in front of that big yin-yang thing that they were fucking in front of at the beginning of the film. And it seems to blast her with something.
Yeah.
And then she kind of floats back and forth and side to side in this awesome, like, white gown, ghostly fashion.
Mm.
And then just leaves.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, like, good versus evil, some sort of power going on there. But she leaves.
Mm.
Anyway, the governor is furious. How can she still be here? She should be dead. Tsuri then starts putting up talismans all around the house.
Mm.
So he's got to protect himself against the evil.
Yeah.
Now, there's a very weird thing that happens here. We get this really long, crazy dog bark with a full moon. I don't know if you noticed that.
I can't say I remember that.
We get like a full moon and then it's like, ooh, like the wolf howling thing, but it's kind of like a dog barking as well.
Right.
So I get it's like very like, you know, embedded in horror imagery, but it's like nothing to do with this movie whatsoever.
I don't even remember that.
I was like, wait, why is this in here?
Yeah.
It's really out of place.
It's like a little crossover with werewolf.
Oh.
Wolf.
Dog wolf. Haunted fox.
Were-dog. Why are they called dog wolf?
Dog wolf.
What a film that would be. But yeah, like, we've got all these... He's put up all these talismans to block Madame Mura from getting into the bedroom, basically. But I loved this shot where she floats over outside the bedroom, can't get in, and there's just this great shot of her silhouette, like, going back and forth.
Yeah.
With, Tsuri just freaking out, seeing his, like, dead wife outside. That was really effective.
And doesn't she, like, come as like a ball of fire as well. There's like a ball of fire floating around, which is also like common practice in these kind of movies.
It's very cool.
Yeah. And but she, when she's outside, she says something which I found really chilling, because she's kind of like beckoning him from outside, and she says, "Husband, come to me. My body is cold." And there's something about that that I was like, ugh!
Yeah.
Like, that's a really creepy thing to say.
It was interesting, like, watching this. Do you know... Well, I liked where this film went after this, but do you know what would have been a really creepy thing to do here? Mm. Imagine if he just, like... He just keeps those talismans up, and then he's just, like, trapped there every night, having to hear his wife, his dead wife, taunt him. That's very frightening, because, like, this is the most, like, scary scene in it, right?
Yeah,
her just, like, taunting him, saying stuff like that. Imagine if he's just cursed for, like, to experience that for the rest of his life.
That'd be bad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like it.
But that's a good ending to a horror film, don't
you? It is.
Yeah.
Might have to steal that.
Yeah.
And then she floats away because she can't get into the main room. And she goes through another door. And then I think this is where we find that the maid has fucked the ninja. Aren't they like in bed together?
Oh, was that the maid?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize.
I think so.
I thought it was just a random woman.
I think the ninja's fucking the maid.
Oh, there you go.
The S&M maid.
I wonder if she whipped his little willy too.
Oh, who knows?
That scene's missing.
And then, yeah, she blows a storm through her mouth. They kind of get cold and...
Blows a storm through her mouth.
She does. She's like blowing. It's like
yeah, she like blows the blanket off, right? And he's like, cold.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's woken up the ninja thief.
Yeah.
And they kind of, they strike a bit of a deal.
And they strike a friendship.
I like this. Yeah. I like this. It's a fun touch where she's like, yeah, you robbed me, which is bad, but you also gave me life and gave me this opportunity for revenge.
Mm.
And you're going to need to help me in my quest for vengeance, which is a great setup.
I know. And he's well on board.
He's keen as a bean.
I love it. So, yeah. So, he's like full on board. He's like, yep, I'm teamed up with the ghost. Here we go. So, he runs over to the main house and he removes all the talismans, opens up the door, and he's like, I am your wife's assistant.
Yeah.
And then she enters. Shit just starts kicking off, and it becomes like a four-way battle.
Mm.
What was the word for a four-way partnership?
Quadruple?
It becomes a quadruple fight.
Fight.
So you've got the governor and the thief and Suri and Mura all fighting together.
It's pretty great.
Yes, it's like the best showdown.
Mm.
Suri goes to stab his wife, but the thief kicks the sword and it flies into the governor.
Hmm.
Stabs him.
And then doesn't the governor, while he's trying to stab the thief, accidentally kills Suri?
Yes.
He like stabs Suri. And then I love this next bit where I can't remember quite what happens, but the governor gets like knocked off where he's standing and is like on the ground.
Oh, the Mura, the ghost, shoots like a roll of cloth.
That's right.
Around his feet and trips him
up.
Yeah,
that's right. And then he gets pushed by
the thief. Yes.
But he's like getting pushed really fast along the ground.
Yeah.
And then has his head like slammed into like a cupboard or the wall or something.
Yeah.
But you just see this, like, splash of blood as his head hits it.
Awesome, yes.
Quite a good
spray
quite a
all
good death.
Across the room. They're all done.
Yeah.
They're all done.
There's also, after all this happens, I don't know if you made sense of what this was, but we get this weird cutaway to, I believe it's Suri and Mura naked, hugging each other and like spinning around in the air.
Oh, I don't remember.
Like they're
that.
Both dead and their like spirits are like together again or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
But it's so quick. Like it's really fast, like a flash. And I'm like, I don't quite know what I saw there. But
I
think I
don't
that's
even
what it
remember
was.
That.
Very weird.
But then after that, the thief goes back to the maid and he's like, hey, babe, I'm back. You know, back from fighting the devil. I won. But for some reason, she's now possessed.
Yeah.
And doesn't she start, like, choking him or something?
Yeah, like, starts attacking him.
And we get the line.
What a mindfuck.
What a mindfuck.
Which, surely that's not what they're saying.
No, but that's what the subtitles say. What a mindfuck. And end.
There you go.
What a mindfuck.
What a mindfuck.
What the... What do you make of that, then?
Yeah. It's interesting, because, like, while I was watching it, especially the first time, I didn't love this, because the porn is, like, exhausting to get through. Second time I watched it, I fast-forwarded the porn, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
it's like, a really fun, small-scale version of, like, the great sort of black magic films, like Boxer's Omen and stuff like that. It's not as good as those films, but I like that it's on this, like, smaller scale. Yeah, it's kind of charming in that way. And yeah, it's a fun and very weird film.
It's not well received online.
Yeah.
There's not any good reviews of this. It's like, you know, people just don't say it's very good. Yeah. I would disagree. I really enjoyed this. And I'm the same as you, though. For first time round, like, I mean, I was very surprised, taken back, and impressed by that, like, good versus evil mind battle. That was fucking amazing. There were some scenes that dragged, but just hearing, like, ourselves talk about it just now, I'm like, fuck, I really enjoyed this
me
film.
Too. Yeah. Me too. Like, I think discussing it now, I'm like, it's pretty great.
It's pretty great.
I think if I saw this, just randomly stumbled across it, I think I would really enjoy it as well, because it does take you by surprise. Because you're like, what is this? Like, we got these random porn scenes and then this amazing battle suddenly and genuinely great effects throughout it. Yeah, it's a good and very weird
watch. The end is disturbing. It's scary. The floating corpses and stuff. Like, it's genuinely creepy.
It's an interesting film for sure.
I just, like, it just baffles me that it has kind of made its way into the Western world in this form, where we don't know when it was made or by who, and or even what the title is.
It's so confusing that there are subtitles for this and there's nothing about it. Like, there are Japanese films without subtitles that we know all about, right?
Yeah.
But there is nothing about this film, yet somehow it has subtitles and a fake English title.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is this?
No idea. No idea. I don't know. And it's so annoying because like, I really want to know the actual movie that we watched, you know? Yeah. Not without the fake English title, without the with the credits from the other movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But then that goes back to saying, maybe if they made this and then it was distributed, like, kind of under the counter, under the guise of a different movie, would there even be a title?
This could be one to, like, if anyone knows more, let us know.
Yeah.
You never know. Someone out there might know more.
About mindfuck.
Yeah.
Well,
Wrongometer?
That's a real tough one. I still don't know.
Generally, so Wrongometer, how wrong it is, how fucked up it is. And we have the category of how much it shouldn't exist.
Well, this one doesn't.
So that's what rate. You know, like, without your backstory, it wouldn't be that high.
Sure. For
me. Not low, but it's not that high. But your backstory cranks it up a little bit. I think the fact that this is kind of a typical black magic film, but with hardcore sex, and not only hardcore sex, but random fucking micro penises getting slapped
and
with whips.
Hunchbacks wailing.
Hunchbacks getting involved. Like, even that is quite mad. Like, that's maybe a six unto itself. And then I think with your backstory and how confusing the making of this is, I have to crank it up a bit more. I was going to go kind of low. I was going to say six, but I think I'm going to say eight after your little backstory there.
All right.
How about you?
You know what? This kind of broke my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
And I can totally get how a foreign film can make its way over it and just have a bootleg title slapped onto it. But this is more than that.
Yeah, this seems very deep.
Yeah, and even if it was like just the credits, the opening credits, you can say, oh, that was just, you know, it was taped over from another film and just the way it ended up getting cut or re-recorded from something else. Like, you can kind of assume that someone taped over a tape of another movie. But the fact that they have then embedded the weird English title into those opening credits of another film, it goes way deeper than just just someone bootlegging and recording something off their TV or whatever, you know, or dubbing a DVD or something. Mm. I really don't know. I'm very confused.
Yeah.
But, it can't be more than an 8.
Yeah.
No. I guess 8. Let's do an 8. Let's
All right. Eight. It's a double 8. We're in agreement today.
Fucking hell. Why do I put myself through this, Dave?
That's a rough one.
Mm. Now, before we talk about what's coming next time, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and all the other stuff.
Oh, yeah. Do that first. That's a good one. Yeah. Follow us on Show Me Something Wrong on Instagram. We still have that Twitter or X. You can follow us there too if you want.
Wouldn't if I were you.
Yeah, we don't do much on there anymore. And you can also send us an email at showmesomethingwrong@gmail.com. We've got our 50th thing coming up, and we're going to do a mini before that with a Q&A. So if you have questions for us, get onto that Instagram, and we've been putting up Q&A stuff, so you can ask us there. And give us a review.
Yeah.
On stuff. On, as you said last time, on Google.
On Google. Give us a Google review.
That cracked me up. But yeah, no, go to the other ones, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Do the reviews on there. That'd be great.
What are we doing next time?
Oh, boy. So you put yourself through that for Mindfuck. I'm afraid I'm going to put you through something pretty intense for the next episode.
It's not more Chinese porn, is it?
Oh, no. Okay. No. We're going to 2010.
Okay.
2010. Relatively recent, recent as far as what we usually cover.
You seem so happy right now.
I'm very happy, but I'm also, you're going to be, you're not going to be happy when you hear what it is. I don't think you'll know what this is when I say the title. So we're going to 2010. We're talking about, we're going to discuss, I can barely get that.
Oh, fucking hell.
Big Money Rustlers.
What?
Big Money Rustlers.
Big Money Rustlers.
Yeah.
Wait, people who rustle money?
Like cowboys. Rustlers.
What's a rustler?
You know, like a cowboy. Cowboy rustler.
No. But rustler. Wait, what? What does rustler mean?
It's like a cowboy. Like a cow rustler. Like guy that, you know, steals the cows.
Wait, what?
It's a Western cowboy
term. People steal cows?
You know, in the Wild West, you know.
Well, I've never done that.
Wait, let me look up the definition of a rustler for
I've never heard the term rustler.
Rustler meaning, all right, here we go. So a rustler, a person who rounds up and steals cattle.
Bloody hell.
I was pretty spot on.
You were.
But rustler, let me just say, it's spelled R-U-S-T-L-A-S. Not the traditional ERS.
Okay.
Because this is a hip hop themed movie. Starring.
Oh, God, here we go. Yeah.
The Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, no. Okay. Okay.
It's going to be something.
All right. I will just say for the record, I've never listened to their music.
Don't worry, you don't need to.
So I've never heard any song by the Insane Clown Posse.
And there's not many of their songs in this film.
Are they in it?
Oh, yeah.
Do they dress up as clowns?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right. So, all right, I'm ready. Join us next time for Big Money Rustlers, starring Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope of the Insane Clown Posse.
You sound like idiots.